Good morning, everybody. A little bit different theme intro is today is Winston's birthday.
Or right, so he's not
probably
working.
More accurately, it's Ange's first birthday.
What?
Date of birth. Ing.
Oh, her anniversary of giving birth.
Yeah, Merritt got it. He's over there smiling. He knows exactly what we were talking about. Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, January the 26th. Joining us this morning is Fortuna City Manager, Mr. Merritt Perry. Good morning.
Morning, Brian.
I think my ink or my pencil thing just died.
It's a good thing we're on radio. No one has to see what you're writing over there.
Well, they couldn't anyway. Rod, if you want to throw me a writing stick, you'll be able to do something magic like at least remember what day it is. All right. Are you ready? New book.
Wow.
That's right.
New book, new theme
Casey
song.
Casey had to deal with it when you sent him in last week to the wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, huh?
He survived.
Yeah, I sense that. All right. So, and by the way, the hit ratio on this is much higher, so the pressure's a little bit more. Ever wonder why so many coin banks are shaped like pigs?
I guess no, I've never wondered that would be my answer, but...
And in the spirit of this little discussion, your thought?
You know, maybe it's pigs were a symbol of, you know, wealth in the form of food and fat and everything else, and maybe they carried that over to money. I don't know.
Long ago, dishes and cookware in Europe were made of a dense orange clay called pig, P-Y-G-G. When housewives began saving coins in jars made of the clay, the jars became known as pig banks. In the 19th century, an English potter misunderstood the meaning of the old term pig and thought that it meant to be the animal, P-I-G, pig. So when someone asked him to make a pig bank, he made one shaped like a squeal pig. The idea caught on, and soon everybody wanted a piggy bank.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miscommunication.
Never,
the root of all success.
Never happens, especially in email.
Boy, ain't that the truth. What's your guys' policy with that kind of thing? Texting, emails, are they all followed up by phone calls? I still can remember the first time I did it, and I let my, to quote somebody within the company, near and dear, and let my inner child out. No? Not going to let that one fly, all right? Okay. Boy, somebody took great offense because they thought that I was serious instead of being my normal, witty, sarcastic individual self.
Yeah. That
took a couple phone calls before that one kind of calmed. It did, and that was okay. But everybody, I think, has dealt with folks not understanding what was trying to be conveyed.
Yeah. You know, I think that's really common. I think anybody who's working professionally, they have that experience, and hopefully they move past it and try to keep their tone maybe a little bit, you know, really obvious if you can. So that's one thing.
Smiles, winks, asterisks, all those little...
Yeah, smiley face if you're saying something a little bit snarky maybe as a joke. We try to get back to folks, you know, the volume of email that comes in, you know, especially in my position, you know, a lot of sales emails and pitches from everybody who wants to sell you everything a municipality might need. And now I try to get to every email and get a response to everybody that, you know, is city business. You know, I don't reply a lot to vendors and other folks, but if particularly, you know,
I know that? Yeah. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Smiley face, smiley face.
I'm a bad customer. I'm glad you still have me on, Brian. Thank you.
But I do notice that Winston gets automatic response. Bang.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
New subject.
Well, how is the handbook, or employee handbook, I guess, to be a little bit more technical, how has that evolved? I would imagine, even in the short period, geologic time, that you've been city manager,
you know,
you've had to have some significant changes.
You have personnel rules and regulations, right? And everybody looks at those. Here's the things you can do. Here's the things that you can't do. I think the biggest thing that you can have an impact on is not what's put in that manual, but the expectation of, you know, customer service and customer service attitude. It's something that we talk a lot about, especially with our management staff, and how important it is to get back to people. I mean, you know, I had a lady call with a complaint about some aggressive raccoons, right? Which, you know, really isn't my area of responsibility, but you know what? I directed her to Wildlife Services. It's like you get everybody calls and you know
what is Wildlife Services?
Oh, the federal trapper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they're the ones who can come out and help, you know, if the county continues to maintain their contract.
That would be the snarky.
Different subject. Yeah. Different subject. But yeah, you know, people come with small things, and those small things, they may seem small to you, but they're very important to them or they wouldn't be calling. So
yeah, it's the issue immediate to them.
Look at those things that people come, especially ones I can solve easy. It's like, man, let me take care of this one. You know, these people are having a hard time with it. It's super easy. Let's just handle that one right away. Goes right to the top, you know, so.
You feel like you accomplished something.
Yeah. You know,
check off a bunch of small ones and you get some momentum going.
Just getting back to the people you work for. I think remembering that you work for the citizens. And I think that's something I enjoy that part as much as any of it. And, you know, trying to explain how the city works and what they can do or sometimes, you know, but very rarely what you can't do.
Sitting at a desk, I would think, would become pretty mundane pretty darn quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Budget mean anything to you?
Budget, yeah, budget's always important. You know, we do pretty good, though. Our department heads, they establish their budget, you know, and they generally stick to them. There's not a lot of surprises, unless there's something unforeseen.
The process of developing a new one or reviewing it, I mean, that's uninterrupted time when you're by yourself. That's not engaging with the community you're familiarizing yourself with the current information.
Yeah, we have a pretty dynamic approach. I mean, you know, for a smaller city, I think it might be easier because we literally can pull all the department heads in, or I could go meet with Public Works and Engineering, and we can work through, okay, here's what we had last year. What new is coming up? You know, we all obviously have a list of projects that, you know, we're working on and are moving their way through the capital improvement program. But, you know, really just trying to, we can sit down and hash through it and have a pretty good sense of what's going to be different and what's changing. The hard stuff's what's coming from above.
Oh, down?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
New rules. Always,
oh, I see.
Always
I see.
From the state.
Not out of the council chambers. You're talking about out of Sacramento.
State and federal.
Okay.
Those are the tough ones.
Step out of that mud puddle before you get too dirty, huh? KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Merritt, I had a fella ask about a question associated with the cable company. That there's, you know, you got the battle going on between the ownership and the Dish Network guys and between cable. And it kind of brought up, in my mind, the franchise agreements.
Yeah.
Which, you know, back when things were different, and Wendy Purnell was here, there was a lot more engagement. There was a lot of discussion. There was it was normal. But it doesn't seem as if that you hear too much about some of these franchise agreements, whether it's with those folks or the ambulance services or some of the other things that the cities will do, because, you know, you're not in that business, you know, but the customer or the citizen wants those services.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. You know, so you figure out how to make it happen and you move on. How is that evolved, you know, with the franchise agreements? And we can use the cable stuff, I guess, as an example, just because I like to kick a horse when it's down.
Yeah. You know, and that's something I haven't worked a lot with the communications ones, but those, you know, my understanding now is that those have been more moved to a state level. So we have less authority over what's happening with cable now, and it was moved more to the state. So Humboldt, Sean with Access Humboldt, really has been doing a great job of trying to keep us informed. And, you know, we have some legacy franchise fees that are in there that we've even been struggling to collect. It's really been kind of a cat and mouse game with
the new owners.
With the new owners, yeah. And so, you know, it's a relatively small amount for a city. So Access Humboldt is really kind of pulling together the effort of all the cities to, you know, work with Altice, Suddenlink, and stay on top of it. And I guess that's my response for the communication and the cable one is, Access Humboldt is absolutely kind of toeing the line for the cities and staying on top of it, because it is. It's a specialized area that we don't get into very much. The one that, you know, cities deal with a lot more up front, a lot that you see, is the solid waste franchise fees. And so that's a pretty big one, because everybody pays their garbage bill, right? And or they're supposed to. And so that's a big one. And, you know, so looking at what services people want, it's a lot like your water or wastewater bill, which, again, those aren't franchises. Those are enterprises. But bills that people pay on a monthly basis or regularly, those are the ones that you really people pay attention to. You'll fill up the council chambers in no time talking about garbage rates. And
isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Of course, we know what happens with water rates.
Yeah, water rates are the same thing. And those, you know, it's not – electricity is not getting cheaper – personnel is not getting cheaper. It just gets more and more expensive to provide services. The cost of everything go up for the city. So periodically you have to go through that. We've gone quite some time. I think our last adjustment was 2011-12 since we changed our rates. So it's been a long time for the city. And
you gonna bring Dwayne back for that?
Yeah, I don't think he would sign up for that special task. Special
just
agreement.
Let him handle the press conferences.
Yeah,
at the public meetings.
No, we do have some big water and wastewater projects, and but back to the franchise agreement. Solid waste is a big one because the state has a lot of rules that affect solid waste, and they're starting to mandate compost. You know, organics recycling, the content of organics. They're requiring a, you know, a certain reduction for every city based on, you know, prior levels. You know, they're classifying new things. I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening with solid waste. And you wouldn't think it, but then the greenhouse gas reduction requirements, SB 1383, those are also requiring changes to the franchise fee. So even though we have a franchise fee that still extends for solid waste and waste hauling for some time, we're going to have to get back into that to address the new rules within the next year.
And changes within that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then how do you get people's food waste and other organic waste, or restaurants and other organic waste? There's not really any facilities that are taking that right now. So, you know, do we contract that out like everything else, or do we try to come up with something that is more effective? And all of a sudden, you know, we're in the business of trying to collect food waste as a city.
Well, and that's there's so many different elements within that.
Right.
You know, and then the standards start changing. You're moving. You're trying to figure out, okay, how do we get it out of the can into the truck?
Right.
You really don't want to worry about anything beyond that, but sometimes you have to.
Right. In some cities, you know, when SB 1383 came out, again, they went aggressively after it and working to comply, you know, and then shortly after, you know, now the state and through CalRecycle has come up with, you know, standards, which I think is a great approach. If they can come up with standards that you work into your franchise agreement and certain activities that you do, and then you're deemed compliant, it's a lot better than trying to, you know, do a new senior project. You know what I mean?
Right. But then when CalRecycle changes the rules, or they determine they're not going to be buying something or taking something.
Right.
Yeah, you don't really want to have that undeveloped piece of property become a pile of whatever it is.
The short answer is the customer always ends up paying more, and it's our job to figure out the most cost-effective way to deal with that and try to keep our rates down, whether it's, you know, solid waste fees through our contractor Recology, or if it's coming up through a new innovative program at the city. And, you know, coming up with new innovative programs takes time, but you always have to consider what's the best path forward here to keep our costs the lowest for our citizens. That's a goal.
Well, and an ROI also.
Yeah.
You know, there may be the pain factor if you use staff, but if you're saving enough, okay. Or you just say, you know, it's worth another $10 a month and you just can't bring it in at less than that. So, you know, let's save some money and some time and move on. And, yeah, we'll take a couple arrowheads in the back, but, you know, we'll survive.
Yeah.
That's the function for Dwayne.
Yeah. Special consultant opportunity coming up,
yeah,
Dwayne.
Yeah.
Solid waste franchise fee negotiation and water rate study, water increase.
You've been there, man. You can do it. We know you can. buy him a couple donuts, huh?
I think Dwayne's happy in retirement.
I believe you are correct. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna City Manager Merritt Perry. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Merritt, the storm coming in. When Rod was reading the weather, you kind of had a furrowed brow. Now, it might have had to do with your email, so I'm not 100% sure. But when something like this comes in, you know, probably will be the storm of this year. But you know it's coming here. You know it's going to be long. You know there's going to be a lot of moisture coming down. We had a street sweeper go out in front of the house this morning. Okay, I mean, you do what you can do in advance.
That wasn't an accident, right?
No, I think the timing was apropos. What can you do? Is it just kind of going around cleaning off the grills as many as you can to try to let the water flow as easy as possible?
You know, in short, be prepared. We have a great general services superintendent and folks on our general services crew that take care of our streets and roads. And I saw an email from Bob Natt, our general services superintendent. He said, make sure you have plenty of 50-1 mix. Make sure you got the chainsaws ready. Fuel up all the vehicles. You know, be prepared, basically. You know, and the biggest thing that we see a lot of times is, you know, we could see flooding-related things, but we see trees and branches fall. We see small mudslides. And, you know, if your fuel's disrupted, you really want to just make sure you're prepared and have all your stuff to be able to respond, you know, to whatever comes up. But that's the biggest one, debris on the roadways and trees falling.
Yeah, branches and trees. Yeah. I mean, that's...
And cleaning DIs, I mean, they have a pretty good program, you know, when the rains are coming, and the worst time is in the fall when all the leaves are falling and clogging everything up. So they'll get out...
Drain intake?
Yeah, drainage inlets.
Oh.
Yeah, what'd I say?
DI.
DI, oh, sorry, yeah. There's one for you, Brian.
I should have said XYZ.
Drop that one on your next guest.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have a pretty good program where they go out and they... clean those out ahead of time when all the fall leaves are there, so when we do start getting heavier rains, they clear out. But being prepared.
Once it gets into the system, though, is there anything that you can do at that point, or you just hope that there's not so much that you're inundated in challenges associated with that?
Leaves and stuff move through pretty well. It's clogging the grates that back it up onto the streets, and you know, we have some spots that are, you know, where it can get up over the sidewalk, and they know where those areas are, and they pay close attention to them.
Right, it's almost too bad you couldn't have, like, a neighborhood kid. We'll pay you $20. Every 4 hours, go out there for 2 minutes and just kind of clean
off
the needles.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
You've heard of OSHA.
It sucked down into it, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay, you don't use your hands. You give them an official City of Fortuna shovel.
Well, then you're really in trouble.
Yeah, now you have training sessions, right?
Yeah. You know, it is nice to go back and look. We took care of a really big flood control project all the way through downtown in Roner Creek, and it would back up Fortuna Boulevard. And, you know, just the gutters being full and the road being full of water, just cars driving down would put a wake that would go into the front of businesses. But we fixed a lot of that. So, you know, at this point, it's more fun to go out and watch and say, hey, cool, you know, look how this thing's working, just like we planned. And you can sometimes go look at the model results and see where things will back up or where they won't back up now, and really kind of, you know, test that.
Look for accuracy.
Yeah. And I have no concerns with what we have there now, but it's going to be really nice for some people who have dealt with problems for a long time to go out and just have no worries rather than waiting. And we used to have... And we still may need them for small isolated areas, but there was a big part of the downtown where we'd have a sandbag program where we'd have sandbags ready for them to come in to protect their waste. And everybody was used to it. That was just the program. And they're up at night. They're going, man, do I need to get more sandbags because the creek's going to come into my house? But I think we're done with that for now. So,
well, maybe planning and design can relax. You don't have to build it like you're on the coast in Carolinas.
Yeah.
Actually have your house down where most people do. Hey, that's, you know, it's part of the culture, but it's also a huge pain. I mean, I can't. It's interesting that it was just something that you get used to.
Yeah, that people did. It's stressful, I think. And, you know, that was one we were able to pull together, redevelopment money that the city had that was going to go away. It was committed towards that project. And we were able to put, you know, match that with a number of different FEMA grants and Prop 1E grants and all these other grants. But, you know, we're at the point right now where we're actually remapping the floodplain. So folks who have homes that are in the currently mapped floodplain will no longer have to pay flood insurance. So people know this project happened and they're calling. And I get a call a week or, you know, a few calls a week. People want to know when, you know, when the flood insurance bills go out, people start calling. When are you guys going to be finished with the project? And, you know, just to get it out there, we did finish a project. We submitted the request for the map revision to FEMA. It's in their hands, and we've been working very quickly to, you know, they had small little questions like what was the elevation on this bridge or what was the station here, or, you know, little model tweaks,
easy things.
Yeah, now we're at the point where we have a draft press release, and we'll you know, be assisting FEMA to go through the public process to put those maps out for public review and comment. And then once that period's done, then FEMA can actually redraw the maps and reissue those. So we hope to have that, you know, in the next 6 to 8 months. But we're done with our part. It's in FEMA hands, so it'll just be the, you know, the public comment periods and the actual drafting of the maps. But that's an exciting thing that we have on tap.
Do residents have to contact their insurance company specifically, or once this designation happens, it kind of gets pushed out and the insurance companies get that information and just start automatically?
It, you know, there's a couple different scenarios. One where the floodplain's been completely removed from somebody's property, then the insurance companies will pick that up. And I've actually heard that, you know, if we get the mapping done, they'll go back and refund all the money that you had within that year. But there's other ones where they still, you know, the flooding now is limited to within the creek banks. So, you know, if you have a house on a piece of property and you have the creek, you may have to take an additional step and, you know, do a elevation certificate just to show, hey, we're above this, and then we've dropped it. So there, you know, there might be a little bit more work. And one of the things we're thinking about is, hey, can we just go through and do an elevation certificate for everybody, you know, and say, hey, you know, get one surveyor to go through, do the whole thing instead of everybody having to hire a surveyor to go through and do that. And we'll just march down the channel. So
that would seem to be a lot more efficient and quicker for everybody.
Again, how can we save, you know, citizens money and still get the value from the project being complete?
But you want to get a tall guy, not a short guy.
Yeah, especially if it's the middle of the winter.
You're dragging that ladder down the creek, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry from the city of Fortuna. A lot of your folks coming in now, or are you still doing the at-home work option for a lot of them?
You know, everybody is pretty much there. I have one new employee that is working remotely, and it was set up that way, but everybody else is at work. Yeah. One of the, you know, again, small city advantages is City Hall, most folks have their own offices or they can be enclosed. You know, we're doing some modifications to a few of the workspaces so people don't have to wear masks all day long if we can kind of enclose them in an office. So we're doing a small project to put a few doors up essentially to separate it so people don't have to have a mask on all day. But all of our utility crews, our streets crews, our parks crews, they're out and about. There's not a whole lot of that you can do from home.
Yeah. Unless you have a really long handle.
Yeah. You know, and the administration piece, I mean, you really have to be there. It's amazing how much comes up during a day, and communication's that much more fluid. I mean, it does work from, you know, meetings. Obviously, we're doing those from home, and there's certain things that, you know, for example, I could work for an afternoon and then have the council meeting, and, you know, when you're focusing on things. But we have everybody. It's like a normal work day there.
Yeah, it's easier to step out of the room and yell down the hall.
Hey, yeah.
Ding, 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 instead of, you know, composing something and going back and forth and waiting and everything else.
Yeah. Don't give people the wrong impression. I just yell down the hallway when I need something there, Brian. That may happen here at the station.
All right, you whisper, and then they come running to find out what it was you said.
We have a different management strategy.
Yeah, you do.
We don't just yell down hallways there.
Oh. Well, yeah, probably with certain information you might not want to. Yeah. Okay, fine. You got me. Do you see any permanent changes that are going to be contemplated?
You know, I personally am not a big fan of the online meeting platform. I like the good old-fashioned meeting. I think our council likes the in-person meetings, and I think everybody's pretty anxious to get back to that. You know, the communication's a little more fluid, and, you know, but I don't know. I mean, that might be a question. You know, will we be able to create a, you know, more participation by having some kind of online platform? And, you know, I know some, like, I think the county might be doing a better job in having more people there. But, you know, for us, it really seems like things have dropped off. You know, we don't have so much involvement, and a lot of times we don't have public comment. So I think for a small city like Fortuna, that people like to come in and they like to be in the council chamber. So I don't, you know, I hope it gets back to that and we have that kind of normal, but who knows? I'm sure that some hybrid systems will pop up that are very creative where we can get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I would suspect that Sacramento meetings,
yeah,
things like that might be a little bit different. But, yeah, you know, if you're going down there to plead your case, you want to see the baby blues.
Yeah. So, well, in some of the conferences and training opportunities, I mean, it's really expensive to stay in a hotel and to travel anywhere from Humboldt, you know, whether you're flying or driving. It's expensive to send an employee anywhere. They're staying overnight if you go anywhere besides Humboldt County normally. So to be able to do some of those training opportunities could really save us some money if that gets picked up. And I think that's one big change that we are seeing is virtual conferences and other types of virtual training opportunities, because training's expensive, especially when you have to travel.
Well, and you get multiples. You know, you send one person, okay, maybe it's $2,000-$3,000.
Yeah.
You send three or four, okay, now all of a sudden you're up over $10,000, and
yeah,
that's not including food.
Yeah. If you're, you know, a lawyer doing some type of legal HR training, and you can charge people three quarters of what you did for in person, and you just do it from your desk, probably the trainers aren't doing too bad either.
Oh, boy, that would be a really dynamic meeting to attend, huh?
Yeah.
An HR meeting hosted by a lawyer done over Zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Oh, perfect. Thanks for coming by, bud. See you everybody
tomorrow.
My
pleasure. Thanks for having me.